Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for all that you have done in our lives. Thank you for all that you're doing right now. Thank you for great things you're going to do for us. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for the help and the blessings we have received from you. Thank you for the interventions that we get after we pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us breakthroughs, successes, prosperity, and excellence. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for your presence and power in our lives and situations. Thank you for the divine directions, guidance, and instructions we get from your Holy Spirit part time. Thank you, Father, for the strength you have injected into our spirit and souls and bodies to do what is right in your sight continually, even to serve you acceptably. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the powerful fruit, your living fruit that you have taught us in this Bible study classes we've been having. Thank you for how you have changed our lives through the truth we have learned from you through these teachings. Thank you, Lord. We thank you because you are here among us again to show us new things and to make us understand more concerning the topic of persecution. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that as we will be having the teaching discussion briefly, speak to every one of us in the best way we will understand. in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching on persecution, and if we can't finish the teaching today, maybe we'll finish it next week. Yeah, because we're already close to the end of the teaching on persecution. Yeah, there's another point, a subtopic, I don't know the number you have over there for the subtopics. Well, yeah, but here is number 9. It's number nine. And the subtopic says, God will judge your persecutors. God will judge your persecutors. And under this subtopic, there are several points there. Yeah, like I think two major points. The first one is the psalmist's prayer for God to protect his people and judge their enemies. That means you're going to see in the book of Psalms how the writer of those books, yeah, because a lot of people wrote the book of Psalms, not only David, but I think David wrote the major part. But there were other authors of the book of Psalms, and in many of those Psalms, you're going to see the authors crying out to God to protect his people from persecutors and also to judge the persecutors. Yeah, there's a lot of those Psalms here which we can't read them. Yeah, but you can write them down and check it later. You can check those Psalms later on your own. Yeah, so let me mention some few of those Psalms, like Psalm 3 from beginning to the end, Psalm 5 from verse 8 to 12, Psalm 6, verse 10, Psalm 7 from beginning to the end, Psalm 9, verse 3 to 5, and then verse 9 to 10, and then 13 to 20, Psalm 10 from beginning to the end, Psalm 12, Psalm 13, all of those from beginning to the end, Psalm 17 from 4, verse 4 to 15, Psalm 18, verse 37 to 50. I cannot mention them all. So all of these Psalms, they contain prayers to God to protect his people and to judge the enemies of his people. Yeah, like Psalm 143, verse 3 to 4 and verse 9 to 12. Psalm 109, Psalm 105, verse 12 to 15, Psalm 82, verse 3 to 4, Psalm 118, verse 5 to 14. Yeah, Psalm 62, verse 1 to 8. 63, verse 8 to 11. Yeah, for instance, let us look at that 63, verse 8 to 11. Psalm 63. Psalm 63 verse 8 to verse 11. I read, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Yeah, that is just one among many verses, many scriptures that talks about God judging his enemies, God judging our enemies. Yeah, which is equal to our persecutors. Our persecutors are also our enemies. I believe you know that. And God will not spare them. God is not going to spare them. Now, there are other prayers that are in the scriptures that were done unto God to fight our persecutors. Prayers that were made to God to judge our enemies. If you look at Jeremiah, yeah, you can write all these scriptures down because we may not actually read them. And Jeremiah 15 verse 15, Jeremiah 17 verse 18, Jeremiah 18 verse 18 to 23, Lamentation 3 verse 59 to 66, Revelation 6 verse 9 to 10. Yeah. You see other prayers in those places that were made to God for judgment of our enemies. So now we're going to move to another point under this subtopic that says God will judge your persecutors. Another point is God's judgment on persecutors. God's judgment on persecutors. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 30 verse 7. Deuteronomy 30 verse 7. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies, and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. Yeah. Let me look at where they mentioned. Okay. I want to look at the curses. Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of those courses in the previous chapter. Yeah, let me see if we can read some of those courses that God is going to put upon our enemies, upon our persecutors. Let me see. Yeah, I think those courses were in chapter 28. Yeah, very, very strong courses from God Himself. Terrible courses. Let us look at some of those courses. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 28. Yeah, we'll just read some of the courses. And God said He's going to put these courses on our enemies. Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to read from verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Let us look at some of those curses. Number one, cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. That is, there will be God will send a devourer on the food, on the food storage of those people. All of a sudden, all the food they have stored maybe will be stolen or will be eaten up by strange insects or whatever. And that's the meaning of cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. And nowadays you can say the bank account of that person will be cursed, such that money will keep going out and no money will come in. Yeah. Then the third one, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruits of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in order that thou settest thy hand to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly. Because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Yeah, there's quite a lot of curses here. Another one says, God will send plague or pestilence. Another one says that God will smite the body of those people with disease, with fever, with infection, which is also called inflammation. Yeah, a lot of terrible things. And in fact, in verse 23, it says God will shut the heaven and there will be no rain. Yeah, which God did during the time of Elijah. Yeah, and then in verse 25, it says, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. So when those people get attacked, whenever those people get attacked, God will not protect them because they are under the curse of God. Yeah, they will not be protected. The attack will succeed over them. Yeah, a lot of curses here in verse 28. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness. You can see, God will even make them go mad. Yeah. So many curses here. In fact, another one says that they will labor and then another will come and hit what they have labored for. Yeah, terrible curses. I pray that none of these curses shall be your portion in Jesus' name. Yeah, because I can't imagine the life of a man that is under all these curses. I just can't imagine. The life of that person will be so miserable. You can take time to read all those curses. Deuteronomy 28. I know many people, they don't want to read this part of the Bible. Yeah, but there's no part of the Bible that was written for decoration. Every part of the Bible was written for study and learning and meditation. So you can take time to read these curses from verse 15, Deuteronomy 28, from verse 15 to verse 68. Yeah. Verse 15 to verse 16. Now, the good thing about these curses is that God did not only say it will come upon the disobedient Christians or disobedient Israelites. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 7, God also said that these curses will also come upon our enemies. Yeah, it can come upon us if we disobey God's commandment. And so people will say, oh, that was Old Testament. Yeah, that was Old Testament. Nothing bad is going to happen to me. I can tell lies whenever I like. I can commit adultery whenever I like. I can do whatever I want with my life. I can commit sin. Yeah, I can commit fornication. Yeah, I can disobey God's word, and nothing's going to happen to me because this is New Testament. Yeah, I hope there's no one like that here. I hope nobody, none of you. Yeah, I hope none of you here is going to be thinking like that, or is thinking like that, or will start to think like that. Yeah, because that's very dangerous. The fact that these curses were written in the Old Testament doesn't mean it doesn't apply to us in the New Testament. In fact, I think we Christians of the New Testament, we are more, or should I say, we will face a more terrible judgment than those in the Old Testament. Yeah, because God expects more from us. Yeah, if you read some place in the Gospels, Jesus was talking to the disciples. He said, your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. the righteousness of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He was telling them that if your righteousness doesn't exceed the righteousness of the religious people of the Old Testament, he said they will never enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah, and if you analyze, or if we have to analyze the righteousness of the Pharisees, many of you here don't even meet up with the righteousness of the Pharisees. Though it's self-righteousness, yeah, but many of you here don't meet up to that righteousness level. Yeah, and Jesus said, we must demonstrate, we must show heaven a higher righteousness than that of the Pharisees if we are going to make heaven. So which implies that we, the New Testament Christians, will suffer greater judgment than the Old Testament people, because God expects more from us than them. Yeah. So if you are reading those courses and then you are feeling like, oh, this can never happen to me, and then you are living in sin, you are saying, oh, these courses cannot come upon me. Yeah, I'm a child of God. Jesus have died for me. He has redeemed me. And you are saying those confessions, and yet you are still living in sin. You're deceiving yourself. Yeah, because you can't escape those curses if you are living in disobedience as a Christian. Yeah, let me also share this with you. There was a testimony of a woman who was an agent of Satan for many years. He served Satan for so many years. Yeah, before she got converted, and she was able to advance in the dark kingdom. I mean, she was able to advance in rank and in authority in the dark kingdom. And she was explaining in her testimony, or maybe I should say, she was explaining some secrets in the kingdom of darkness. She was exposing those secrets. Yeah, and one of the things that she said was why many Christians suffer in the church. That is why many Christians suffer limitations, they suffer poverty, they suffer hardships, yeah, and many other problems. So she was explaining the reason. Yeah, she was saying that all these causes I just told you about in Deuteronomy 28. He said, demons, they work with those curses alone. Yeah. Yeah, so he said, whenever a Christian is living in sin, the demons, they take those curses and they start to pronounce those curses upon Christians. Yeah. And whenever an angel is coming from heaven to help the Christians or to fight for the Christian, they will tell the angel to stop. They will say, look at our life, or look at his life. There is sin there, and then they will show the angel these curses in Deuteronomy 28. They will say, is it not God that wrote this, that anyone that go against his commandment, this and that should happen to him or her. Yeah, and once the angels, once they see the scripture, they will not be able to do anything because God honors His word alone. So what these demons do is that they multiply accusations on Christians. They increase the accusations on Christians. Yeah, so what that means is that just a little sin in your life and puts you under limitations for years, because the demon that will be accusing you will keep using these curses to fight you. Yeah, and if any help is coming from heaven, the demon will stand and say, no, this help can't reach you because you are a sinner. And this is what God said will happen to sinners. So they will quote God's word back to the angels that have come to help you. Yeah. And when the angels see that the demons were right, or the demons are right, the angels will just return back. Yeah. So she was saying that this is the main reason why many Christians suffer. That just a little sin in the life of a Christian is enough for these demons to block many blessings from reaching the life of that Christian. In fact, just a little thing like anger, pride, hatred is enough. Yeah, so we're not saying that that the reason why miracles happen faster in churches that they are not really born again, churches that are under the leadership of false pastors, false prophets. She was saying that the reason why miracles happen faster in those churches that they are not really close to God, they don't really follow the original standard of the Bible. She said in those churches they take away accusations, that there's no demon in those churches accusing anybody. Yeah, but in churches where they preach a lot on holiness, righteousness, fear of God, he said there's going to be a lot of demons in those churches doing a lot of accusations. Yeah, so and they can work with the most minute thing, the most little thing. They can work with those little things, and through that block many blessings from coming into the life of the Christian. But as you said, other churches, maybe those churches were once on fire for God, but later they backslidden. Or those churches were under the control of false pastors, false preachers. He said, we withdraw all the demons of accusation from those churches. And that is why those churches, when they pray just simple prayer, miracle happens. Yeah, because I believe you know that if you are a sinner and you use the name of Jesus to pray, miracle can happen. Do you know that? Because it happened even in the Bible. Even in the days of Jesus, in the earthly days of Jesus, some people that were not followers of Jesus, they were not believers. I mean, when I mean believers, they were not saved. They were using the name of Jesus to perform miracles, and the miracles were happening. Yeah, and they were living in sin, but they had faith in the name of Jesus, and they used that name, and miracles happened. So miracles can happen in false churches, in churches where they are not living a holy life, and maybe more than half they dress seductive. Miracles can happen in those churches. Yeah, just through their faith in the name of Jesus, they can receive miracles. Though that doesn't mean they will always receive miracles, but miracles can happen. Yeah. So that woman was not saying that the Christians that don't understand what was really going on in the realm of the spirit, they will now be envying those other churches that are not following the standard of the word of God, that are not living holy. They'll be envying them because they just pray simple prayer using the name of Jesus and then they receive miracles. And then this other church where they teach a lot on righteousness, holiness, fear of God, but people hardly get miracles in those churches. So she was able to explain the reason, which I've also explained to you just now. Yeah, that Satan will withdraw all the demons of accusations, all the accusers. He will withdraw all of them from those false churches because he is already the owner of all the souls in those churches. Yeah, because all the people in those false churches, they are ready, his children. So he doesn't need to hinder some of their prayers. But he's going to send a lot of accusing demons to churches and ministries that really teach righteousness, holiness. And these demons, they will take advantage of the little things that are in the lives of the believers. And they will work with those things to bring upon the believers these curses in Deuteronomy 28. Yeah, so now you can see the reason why we have no choice but to pursue after complete holiness and righteousness. You have no choice than to pursue after living a very pure life, because the enemies that are fighting you, they will not give up. Yeah, they are already waiting for you to fall into sin. Yeah, so that they can carry out their project, their evil project on your life. Yeah, so I hope you take note of this thing. So this is the main reason why a ministry like this may not have record of so much miracles. Yeah, because God expects that after you have had teachings like this, he expects that you obey immediately and do the right thing. So if you insisted that you will still not do the right thing, yeah, then God will have no choice than to listen to your accuser when they stand and say, no, this blessing doesn't belong to that one. Yeah, when they tell God that, God, you can't bless this one, you can't bless that one because they are sinners. I pray that you will be wise at this time in Jesus' name. So, but that was just by the way what I really want you to take note of in this Deuteronomy 30 verse 7 is that all those curses in Deuteronomy 28, they are also God's weapons that he uses to judge our persecutors. God judges through curses. God executes judgment also through curse. And so people think it's only Satan that curses. You have seen it in the Bible that God also curses. Yeah, so God does not only have blessings, he also has curses. Yeah. So, and these curses, God then puts them on your enemies. Yeah. He can put all these curses on your enemies, on your persecutors. Yeah. Many times when I'm doing spiritual warfare prayers, sometimes I just find myself cursing the enemies. Yeah, I may not really mention a specific curse. Yeah, but I would say words like, it shall not be well with them. And of course, I don't even know the enemies I'm referring to. Yeah, but the Holy Spirit will just make me say those words that it shall not be well with the enemy. Yeah. And you can even place a curse. As a Christian, you can place a curse on the works of the devil. Maybe there is a sickness. You know, sickness and disease, they are works of the devil. They are works of darkness. Yeah, they are works of darkness. You can place a curse even on sickness. You can say, use this back pain, I curse you in the name of Jesus. Get out. Yeah. But I'm not saying you should place curse on human beings, on human enemies. Yeah, but I'm saying that you can place curse on our enemies, the real enemies, the powers of darkness, the forces of darkness, the operations of darkness, principalities or rulers of darkness, the spiritual enemies, not the human enemies. You can place curses on them. Yeah, so what I'm saying is that God uses curses as a weapon of judgment to judge his enemies, to deal with his enemies, which is also our enemies. Yeah, so I believe you know that there are some people who really did something wrong to God's servant. Maybe they use verbal, maybe they use their mouth, their spoken words to hurt God's servant. Yeah. And then because they did that, God dealt with them. And some of these people, they didn't even do it in front of the God servant, of the man of God or the woman of God. They did it at his back. They did it at his or her back. They did not really face him or her and speak those hurtful words to his face or to her face. They said those words, those negative words, at the back or in the absence of that of that servant of God. And God heard it. Yeah, God heard it. And God released the curses. Yeah, so be careful. Be careful how you relate with people that God really cares so much about. People that God really loves. And people that God have anointed and have called them to serve Him. So be careful what you do to those people. In fact, be careful what you think in your mind concerning those people. Or what you say at their back or say to their face. Yeah, because they may not really see anything. They may not even open their mouth to say anything. But the God who called them and anointed them is going to fight for them. Yeah. Yeah, so these people, they were cursed by God. And some of them, they suffered for as long as 10 years, 15 years, until God started to show them mercy and open their eyes to see that they need to go, open their eyes to see the cost of their sufferings, and told them that they should go and beg that preacher the offending, so that he can pray for them. Yeah, and when the preacher now prayed for them, then the sufferings now stop. Yeah, so my point is that God fights for His people. Now, you may not be a preacher, but even you, as God's child, God also fights for you. Yeah. God fights for you. Yeah, even though you may not be a preacher. Yeah, but because you are God's child, you are God's possession. You are God's child. God fights for you too. Yeah, especially when you did not fight for yourself. Because when you choose to retaliate, to fight for yourself, God is not going to fight for you. But when you don't retaliate, when you let God do the judgment, then God will really deal with your enemies. We saw in the Bible concerning Moses, how the people who stood against Moses, how they were judged by God. You can read your Bible, you will see it there. Yeah, in fact, even the sister of Moses, God gave her leprosy. Yeah, she became leprous because she stood against Moses. Yeah. Yeah, so we have to be careful. Yeah, because as God has blessings in His hand, He also has curses in His hand. So let us continue. Second Chronicles 36, verse 16. Second Chronicles 36, verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy. You can see God was angry with those people who mocked his messengers and despised the words he gave those messengers to speak, and those who abused or misused his prophet. So what does it mean to abuse or misuse God's prophet? An example is when you're trying to take advantage of God's prophets, you're trying to make them do things that God have not sent them to do. Some people, they'll be going to God's prophets and asking the prophet to tell them what they had last night. Yeah, that is abuse. Yeah, because they want to test the prophet whether he really speaks correctly or not. Yeah, in fact, some they will come to the prophet and then the prophet will say, "What is the problem?" And then they'll say, "Let God show you my problem." Very funny. Yeah. The prophet will ask, what exactly is the problem? What is your situation? What are you going through? How can I help? And then the people will say, I want God to show you the problem. I want God to show you what I'm going through. And I start to feel like, what is really wrong with us in the church? Why would any Christian behave like that? Yeah, that is misuse and abuse of the prophetic office. Yeah, and that is a great offense against God. Yeah, and some prophets that are so immature and so unwise, they also would fall into that trap. They also would say, okay, let me connect to the spirit realm. Let me see what your problem really is. And in most cases, they don't see anything. Yeah, because God is angry with both the person that is abusing the prophet and even the prophet himself, who, because of the money they would give him, also fall into the same trap. Yeah, so most times they don't see anything because that is very wrong. Why would you go to a pastor or a prophet and then you'll be telling the person, you tell me my problem? Why did God give you mouth? So you can't just open your mouth and pour out your heart before God. Yeah, because God is present in that moment, in that place. Yeah, any genuine servant of God, they are not alone. God is always with them. Even the angels are always with them. So why you open your mouth and then you tell the person, this is what I'm going through. This is my problem. You are not actually telling him, you are telling God that is with him. And it's a sign of humility. Yeah, not that you now say, oh, let God tell him my problem. I hope none of you is doing that or is thinking about, or let me say, have that attitude. If you have that attitude, you have to go and repent. Yeah, so God was angry with those that misused his prophet. In other words, they misused the prophetic grace, the prophetic office. And God was so angry with them. In fact, some of them, they go to God's prophet the same way they would go to witch doctors to consult with the God. Let us continue. Let us look at Psalm 7, verse 11 to 16. Psalm 7, 11 to 16. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Can you see that? God is angry with the wicked, that is with sinners, every day. Verse 12, if he turn not, that is, if he repent not, he will wet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. Can you see that? Yeah. God has a sword. He has arrows. Yeah. If the wicked repent not, God will use the sword on them. And he will shoot his arrows. You can see verse 13. He has also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutors. Yeah. Behold, it travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and it's fallen into the dish which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head. So these are judgments on persecutors, on human enemies. Our human enemies. Yeah, God said they will fall into the same ditch or pit they made. And their mischief will return upon their head. Yeah. I pray that God do all of these things to every stubborn enemy in your life that I've refused to repent. In Jesus' name. Let us continue. Psalm 11, verse 2 and verse 5 to 6. Psalm 11, verse 2. Verse 2 says, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Now, verse 5. The Lord tried the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Verse 6. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and upon an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. You can see that. Though they lie wait to strike the righteous, the upright, but God also will rain upon them snares, fire, and brimstone. Yeah, there's some people that says, why do you people always shout fire, fire? When you are praying warfare prayers, must you always say fire? Yeah, some people, I don't know, the kind of heat, the heat spiritual warfare prayers. Yeah, so they'll be saying, why do you people say fire, fire? Yeah, where is it in the Bible that we should be calling fire, fire on the enemy? Yeah, but maybe they have not read this place in Psalm 11, verse 6. Yeah, that says, upon the wicked it shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and horrible tempest. Yeah. In fact, there's another place that God is, you know, God also says, it's that say unto the wicked that it shall not be well with them. Yeah, so God hates the wicked. There's no mercy for the wicked. And by wicked, I mean those that have refused to repent. There's no mercy for them. Yeah. But there shall be mercy for you, because you are not like them, in Jesus' name. So let's continue. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 12 to 15. Psalm 37, verse 12 to 15. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Hallelujah. Can you see that? It says, their sword shall pierce their own heart. So even the sword the wicked was going to use to strike you, to wound you, Bible says it shall go back to pierce their heart, and their bows shall be broken. Now, verse 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Now, so these are scriptures that confirms God's judgment on our persecutors. And I've said it before that, though God allows persecution to happen to Christians, and God has taught us or has told us to not retaliate, that doesn't mean that what the persecutors do to us is okay, is good. Yeah, the fact that we are not retaliating doesn't mean God approves all the wrong things the persecutors are doing to us. Yeah, in fact, God has prepared very fierce judgment for them if they fail to repent. Yeah. There are still many scriptures. I'll look at three, then I'll leave the rest for next week. Yeah, let us look at Psalm 105, verse 14 to 15. Psalm 105, verse 14 to 15. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved him for their sins, saying, that's verse 15, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophet no harm. You can see that. Touch not mine anointing and do my prophet no harm. Now, when we talk about anointed, some people think this is only referring to men of God or servants of God. Yeah, of course, they are anointed. But this also refers to you, to every child of God. Yeah, because every child of God is anointed. Yeah, because here in this passage, it was referring to the people of God, the children of Israel. Yeah, the writer was giving a summary of how God fought for them, how God was with them, how God helped them, how God defended them. Yeah, so this anointed healing is you. Praise the Lord. When the Bible says, touch not mine anointing. So when you read that place, don't say, oh, it's for the men of God. No, it's not just for the men of God. It's for you. It's for every child of God. Because every one of us, we are anointed. Now, you may say the prophet, because it says, touch not my anointed, and then do my prophet no harm. Now, you can say the prophets are the servants of God. Yeah, and that is correct. Yeah, because you can't just call yourself a prophet if you have not been called and given the gift to function in that office. Yeah, but that first one that says, touch not my anointed. You are the one the Bible is talking about. Yeah, because anyone that has Jesus in him is anointed. Anyone that has the Holy Spirit in him or her is anointed. In fact, the Bible says we have an anointing inside of us that teaches us things such that we don't need any teacher to instruct us. Yeah. So you are anointed, and God have given you a decree that no one should dare touch you. Not that you are going to fight anyone that touches you, but God is going to fight them because you are the apple of his eye. So no one dare touches you. If they try, they will go down. God will deal with them. Yeah, God will mercilessly deal with them. Yeah. Let us continue. Isaiah 54, verse 15. Isaiah 54, verse 15. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you, against thee, shall fall for thy sake. This is God talking. Yeah, I don't know why Christians are so afraid of enemies. Yeah, some are so afraid of witches and wizards. When the Bible says that whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Then why so scared of witches and wizards? Why so scared of witch doctors or some demonic power? Yeah, when your God is so strong with you. And mind you, when God was speaking this word, he was not even talking about let me put it this way, he was not only referring to invisible forces. He was even referring to physical enemies here. Yeah. So which means the kind of judgment God places on your invisible enemies, your spiritual enemies, God is also able to put the same judgment and destruction on your human enemies that have refused to repent. Yeah, it's just that it is God that does that. It's not you. It is God that does that. But you can quote this Bible if you feel like you are under any form of attack, whether from the spiritual, from the invisible realm, or from the physical realm, or visible realm. You can quote the scripture. And once the angels listen to the scripture, they will enforce God's judgment instantly. And that shall be your portion in Jesus' name. Let us continue. In fact, verse 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. I told you of the story of a young man that came to rob a Christian lady with a gun, and the woman said, I bind you, devil. And the woman collected the gun. Yeah, the woman had no weapon, but she used the name of Jesus to stop the gunner, the guy that was going to gun her or shoot her. Yeah, you can do the same too. So what I'm saying is that this scripture, they're not just for spiritual enemies. They also work on physical enemies that may come in form of human beings, and that may come with physical weapons. This scripture also work on them. Yeah, you just need to be wise to apply them correctly. Yeah, you just need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost all the time so that you will know which scripture to use per time. Yeah. So that you will know what to do in any life-threatening situation. Yeah, may the Lord give you wisdom. Let's look at Jeremiah 20, verse 2 to 6. Jeremiah 20, verse 2 to verse 6. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gates of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magormizabib. I don't know how they pronounce all these names. Verse 4. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies. And thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. And he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity. And thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied lies. You can see, this man, Pashur, if you read verse 1, was a son of the priest. And also the chief governor in the house of the Lord. So, of all people, this man wasn't expected to do this thing to Jeremiah the prophet. Yeah, because his father was even the priest. Yeah, so which means he belonged to the priesthood. And these are people who know the word of God. Yeah, because all the priests, they must have finished reading the whole Testament books, and at least the ones that were available during this time of Jeremiah. Yeah, so it wasn't expected of this man to treat God's servant that way. He smote Jeremiah and put him inside prison. Yeah. And you can see what God was telling him through Jeremiah. The disaster and the tragedy that will befall him. Yeah. Though it may take time. I mean, God's judgment on our enemies may take time, but it always happens. Yeah, because some people will say, why is it that God allow wicked people to continue to do wicked and to prosper? Yeah, why is God doing nothing? And God knows what He's doing. Yeah. So don't question His judgment and wisdom. He knows what He's doing. He definitely knows what He's doing. So, yeah, that is why Jesus has taught us to forgive and to not repay evil with evil, and to leave the judgment and vengeance to God. Yeah. So, you don't need to be counting the days and the years and waiting for the day God's judgment will visit your enemies. That is your human enemies. So you just leave them to God. God knows when and how to deal with them. Yeah. I pray that you will not fall under the anger of God in Jesus' name. Yeah, it's a terrible thing to fall under God's anger, which is also God's curse. Yeah, it's a very terrible thing. You should live your life in such a way that you are always under God's mercy. That's the best place to be under His mercy. If you somehow fall under His anger, you are gone. Yeah. And then you may be asking, how do I make sure I don't fall under His anger? You already know the answer. Please Him. Obey His word. Obey His voice. Obey His commandment. If you don't do that and you are saying, God have mercy, God is not going to have mercy. Yeah. In fact, you can pray and fast for 100 days and keep saying, God have mercy. Oh God have mercy. And yet you have not genuinely repented. God will never have mercy. Yeah, and that is the foolish thing some people are doing now. Not even now. That's the foolish thing some Christians have been doing. If you go to some prayer mountains, prayer grounds, you're going to see a lot of people there asking for mercy. A lot. Both ministers of God and Christians, you see them on prayer mountains. Some have even spent months there asking for mercy. But these same people asking for mercy are sinners. I mean, people that deliberately sin against God. They know that these things are what God hates, and they still do it. And yet they are going everywhere asking God to show them mercy and to turn their lives around. Well, God will never do that. Yeah. So if you really want God's mercy, do the will of God. But if you want God's anger, you know what to do. Don't do the will of God. Disobey Him. Yeah, if you do enough of disobedience, then God's anger is going to manifest. Yeah, but that is not my prayer for you. My prayer for you is that you will always be under His mercy. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for this time we have spent in your presence. Thank you for showing us from your scriptures how you have packaged judgment and vengeance and wrath for our enemies, even curses for our enemies and persecutors. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how you care so much for us and how you are ready to defend us anytime anyone tries to mess with us or touch us. Thank you, Lord, for showing us these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you help every one of us here to live our lives in such a way that you are pleased with us, so that we remain under your mercy and not fall under your anger. Father, help us to please you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I also ask that you help us to not retaliate when any human enemy or persecutor hurt us. Help us not to retaliate in any way. Help us to hand over the judgment to you. Help us to forgive our enemies and do good to them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.